Friends, I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. And to verse 3. I'll begin from verse 2 so you can call me from verse 1. But our main passage is the verse 3. But I'll begin from verse 1 so that we can get the understanding. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And that's our passage for today. And this is from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And the pay Yesu and someone or catch in the swing for the move back home. And now you be a disunion. Now you are in junior home. Now you have a Yesu between your class. If you remember, say, in Binion or a kind, a kind. Oh, sorry. So we didn't think out. All right. Yeah. So we can go on because it's ready to go. If you are not converted and become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So what he's saying basically is here, is laying down the qualification to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The yes which is a dear sister about Brabum and son of Wittimania or Swahiman Ako. And one seven Nayaka. Now when we go to the background of this passage. The disciples have asked Jesus a question that came from their own disputes. They were disputing about who among them was the greatest. See, they wanted to know who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But when they asked this question, Jesus began by telling them that they need to turn to become like children, if they will, otherwise they will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, baby, sir, they say, in the Omo crown, Omo, a sheaf on the national, Omo, my pana, obey a seer power with the home, a human, a Hindian. Yes, like I say, John, another Peter, another mine, or say, they obey sister, I have a Quran, or no obey a seer power with the home. Amen. He said, "He who would tend to become like little children, they are the ones who will enter into the kingdom of heaven." So our topic this morning is characteristics of true conversion or signs of true conversion. As my kind of pen any day yes what can it was he said, "See a castle will be at the sign." A dear Pahani, before the Panam, I best say in the Panasasan. In the Papa Bray, he said, "A queer being a one man over Pasudia, said the Bayer, Savia, what the son of the one to sign." So that is like I used to cut up him. A crowd, ah, would be so what the son as they want to sign. Many people think that there's no way to find out whether you are converted or not. But if that was the case, Christ would never have said this, which means there's a way to know whether you are truly converted or not. And this is what we are going to learn. We are going to turn to so many passages of the Bible to prove that there is a way to prove that you are converted. Remember, in Hebrews 9 verse 27, he said, "It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this there is judgment." Hebrews 9 verse 27, can you please read that for me in King? It is appointed unto man. 9 verse 27. And we all believe this. Everybody will die. Whether you fear it or not, everybody will die. And we see in our life, we are dying daily. The moment you are born, you begin to die. And that's why when you are growing, your eyes become dim, your weaknesses and all kind of things. You are dying. We are not a living people. We are dying people. That's the nature of us. Since the fall, we are dying. And he said, finally, we will all die, and after death, there will be judgment. And the consequences of that judgment will be that ye must be doomed to dwell in hell. That's the consequences. So our judgment is not airborne. So when you are converted, the tribal seer said, Ubeko of Sam Egypt. Now, once you know what the sun, heaven forever and ever. Last time I can, I didn't be able to say it. Here, we'll go by what we are saying, and it is only the converted and the unconverted. These are the only two people that God sees, the believer and the unbeliever, the saved and the unsaved. The saved means you must be saved. And why should you be saved? It means you are in danger. Otherwise, there will be no need for the word saved. You are in danger, and you are in danger of going to hell. And you must be saved so that you can also go to heaven. Friends, I believe all of you here want to go to heaven. I don't think there's anybody on earth, even the atheist. Nobody will say that he wants to end up in hell. That's why they say they don't even believe. But whether you believe or not, the Bible has said it is true. There will be a time to reckon with the Creator. He owns this world, and the end will either take you to heaven or to hell. And even though it is the hope of everybody to go to heaven, yet if you look at the lifestyle of people, let's all be sincere, and how people are regarding the word of God, how people are living, the wickedness, and so on, then we agree with Christ. We say that by their fruits, we may know them. You can see from the fruits whether somebody is converted or unconverted, is heading for hell or is heading for heaven. It is clear in the scripture and even in our own lives. And I'm afraid that on that day, there will be millions of people who will go to heaven, but can never make it to heaven. The life we live now, as I always say, is given to us to prepare for eternity. So this life is short. No matter how you see it, how old can you grow to be? If we say a team, no, you have to come on the mind and say, you so we help me, we help you forever and ever. We help, I will help forever and ever. It will give much. What they compare? If you say a team, if you say with me, you need to say. Now we need to go through 100 years. Ekona, I will bring one. Now I bet the world power will say, "Hey, you know, if you say Odiama, titiru mu amuye branchi elima bawa." You say, you remember your creator in your youthful days before the bad days come. There are bad days to come. Yesterday, I met one of our friends at TMBC whose mother was very, very punctual at church. When I asked for the mother, he said, now she wants to come, but she can't come. That's how life is. A time will come that you will like to know about the truth and it will not be there. So there are bad days to come. And therefore, we should make use of the time that we have now. There are millions of people, even those who profess to be Christian. Remember, he was talking to disciples. Not unbelievers, people who claim to be disciples, who have tasted the grace, they are the ones that Christ was talking to. So it is a matter that everybody must take a seat or it's a matter of self-examination. Am I converted or not? You must do whatever it takes to find out whether you are converted or not. And many people that we meet on the street when we are witnessing, when you ask them whether they will go to heaven or not, about 70% say yes, they will go. And the 30, maybe 25 will say, oh, we don't know. And the 5 will admit that by their life now, they know that if Christ should come now, he won't go to heaven. The American is say, be as I call as I'm can you share the parties and so on. See your own way. That you who are beco heavy and I. And if I say 70%, I can say I'm on the call. A move 25, they can say, oh, you're new, you're sure. The move 5, as you make a say, but when you ask those who are not sure, when you ask them, why are you not sure and you are still not making any effort? For example, say, DNT now, when you're sure, that one's who I will tell you now when you're here. Or say, anything nobody can tell. If nobody can tell, we are going to prove from this scripture that you can tell. You can find out there are signs that must show in your life to prove that you will go to heaven and not, or not. So, if you want to ask, who is our one? They are also back and say, oh, you promise me. And, Papa, I know I'm a Christian. It's me, you will be war. I saw this fear. And yet, me, a crochet, a radiation. Officer, you will not, you require a baby dedication in China. When you say, of a coherent. Many people think that when you ask them, they will say because they are baptized or they belong to a denomination or they were dedicated to the Lord when they were born, they will go to heaven. Some will say that, oh, because my name is in the church's register, but there's a difference between your name being in the church's register and your name being in the book of life in heaven, which matters. For the church's register, anybody can come and write their name there. But are you truly, that is why in our churches, in the Reformed Church, before you become a member, there's a book over there, church membership. I hope all of you will find time to read it. We make sure, even though we can never be 100%, at least we make the effort to know that you are born again. Because we are gathering the people for heaven. People who God has changed their heart. So before we become a member of our church, we try to find out by using all these yardsticks to know whether you are truly converted or not. If you can say, yeah, sorry, we know. And Sana, obey a member, and pray your pastor, Abba, and I'm saying, obey the testimony, Abba. You be kind. Now, I'm watching a prayer of fast with you, and you're fine. Fine, that's what I can. It's just a very human who say, I am fine. Oh, by your life, why you know who are? I say, I'm fine, I do what you say. We remember. When you bring your testimony, we read it fine, but we also check your life from your testimony, whether what you are saying is true, whether God has truly converted you before you become a member. Why is this so? It's so because our Christ and Savior Jesus Christ, he warned in Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. He said, not everyone that says unto the Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, and I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Yesu, as some of our kind of JTTR, and he said, or see, that one, a temple, he may do so. If you make us, oh, everybody, my boss, my essay, if you grab it, never want to see, I can want ceremony at the Adina. If you grab it, I said, you would be at the 12th morning. Talking about those poor prophets, those divine healers. They will say all these things. But look at what Christ said. He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Bonne, moi, I'm not going to do it. So it is a much more deeper thing to go to heaven than what we think. People who claim to be prophets or whatever they think they are, God is saying that He will ask them to depart from Him because they are working iniquity. So what He's saying here is that there must be a change. A change must be right in us, that what we must do before we can go to heaven. Remember what Christ said to Nicodemus. Unless a man be born again, and from above, and unless a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Luke 13, verse 24. And then another one, he says, try to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not. These are very serious statements from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here he's saying that strive is like agonize. No, you must try to. Yeah, you can hear and now almost two gold mines. Sometimes when we are partner, you see them how they will dig down and would march all over their bodies seeking for gold. How should it take you to seek for eternal life? You must try. And that's what Christ is saying. As I said, we do we really now shame. Said the beggar, we bring out a flow as man ago. Or see, a binum ever per se, ombekum, and so no, omitting God. He said, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Friends, do you think anybody can go to heaven by just mere statements here like this, or coming to church and going and say, I've been baptized? No. It is far, far, far more than that. It is anybody who thinks like that is miserable. The truth is that you must strive and be changed, be born again, before you can enter to the kingdom. So except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And as we let him, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall never see the kingdom of heaven. And then he also going to say that without holiness, no man shall see. You can find it in John 1, 3, verse 3, Matthew, as we just read, 18, verse 3, and Hebrews 12, verse 14. All these statements are there. Very serious statements. Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall never enter the kingdom of God. And we know how little children are. How they trust fully their parents. Say, kase, it is not where you say, akora, you know, say, akora, akora, kase, or trust any papa, and I said, mammy, nothing can stop them. Full trust. Or papa, you can send you where they knew, or trusting the sea will be. And that's how Christ wants us to become fully trusting in Him and what He has done on the cross of Calvary as our way of salvation. That is what he's saying here. I don't know, I've told you about a story that I heard. I don't know whether it's a true story or an illustration about a young boy who was in an aircraft, and there was trouble that they were going to fall down, and everybody was shaking and running up and down, but the boy was very, very quiet, cool. So somebody asked him, why are you so quiet when we are going through all these things? And the boy said, my father is a pilot. Because his father is a pilot, he believes that nothing can happen. And that's the kind of trust we must have for Christ. That Christ is the Savior, He's the Lord, and with Him in my life, I can feel that. That is why I always say that if you are truly born again, all those gimmicks that people are doing, putting fear in them that some demons are chasing you or somebody is making you lose your it is not true. Because your father, as the boy said, is the pilot. So if your father is the pilot of this world, what do you fear? Why should somebody even pray for you? Why should you go for deliverance? If truly you are born again. So the born again is the main deal, is the passage. And let's see what Christ said. He said, at the same time came the disciples. It is from the beginning. That's why I said, let's read from the beginning. It's the disciples who came to ask a question. So it was him that he was addressing. But it doesn't mean that because he was addressing the disciples, it's not for us. Because he said the same thing to Nicodemus, that he must be born again and before he can enter into the kingdom. So if he said the same thing to us, that we must also be born again. Because here he was saying that even though they had tasted the grace and he had worked with them, but there was still some worldliness in them. There were still some worldly things in them. That's why Christ was addressing them. There was some corruption and a few things remaining in their heart. That unless they were more converted than they were, unless a greater change passed upon their souls and they are sanctified, they can never enter into the kingdom of God. That's the point that Christ is saying here, and that's what he's telling us, unless you are truly converted. Friends, are you converted? Are you truly converted? Do you sincerely believe in your heart that you are converted? The good news is that after this sermon, I'm sure everybody will be able to tell whether he or she is not converted. And if not, you are still alive. So you have the chance to be converted before the final day comes. Because he told Nicodemus, Nicodemus said he had done that, but Christ said, unless you are born again, otherwise you can never be converted. So now my question is, what exactly is true conversion? What is the definition, a biblical definition of true conversion? And my answer is that the biblical definition of true conversion is simply the kind of conversion that makes one live a changed life that shows fruits of righteousness and true repentance. The will be I come at the sign, especially when it comes to say repenting, true repentance. The man must be truly converted and have a changed life, and a life that shows fruits, and then righteousness and true repentance. We show you that when you become a true convert, who has been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you will have a changed life and no longer live in your old sinful lifestyle. If you used to steal, you won't steal anymore. If you used to lie, you won't lie anymore. If you used to commit immorality or get drunk or commit many other sins, that will never be the case of your life again. Now, when we say if you lie, I'm sure many of you can say, oh, me, I can never lie, or I can never go and see somebody's sin. It is a matter of seriousness. You can lie, no matter who you are, except by the grace of God. So you need the conversion that will help you to be able to stay clear and believe with love. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things, your old life has changed. You have become a new person. But the Master causes certain signs of true conversion. Yesterday, somebody was asking for that booklet. He said he wants as many as possible that we can get for him. It is called Seven Certain, C-E-R-T-A-I-N. Certain, it means they are definite signs of true conversion. And Nehemiah and Sua, a chese, Akuma, assistant. I think there's some at the bookshop. And Nehemiah, a chese, Yasama, Akuma. They are all there. But here I have a few of them that I want to share with you. so that by the end of the message, you can tell, you can self-examine yourself whether you are truly converted or not. And the first one, like I said, is genuine salvation. Are you genuinely saved? When I say genuine salvation, it means there could be salvation that is fake, that is not genuine. There must be a genuine salvation. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. The salvation that Christ has earned for us by dying on the cross, it will save us from the wrath. There's a wrath coming. So we must be genuinely saved from that wrath to come. And he said, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. So if you are a truly converted person, Christ has delivered you from the wrath to come. And you have a genuine and definite salvation experience that will change you from the inside. You must be changed from the inside so that it will be shown on the outside. On the other hand, if you are a false convert, lacking genuine conversion, you won't have a definite salvation experience that will transform you from the inside to show on the outside. You see, what is in you is what shows up. So if you are genuinely converted, say, I'm still working on power, I bet you have a problem. Okasem, unantim, ubi biem betches de nika wenu, wanya salvation, wanya mkwanje. Then as the verse went on to say that you must bear good fruits. As I said, also abapa. So wanya, sa akumasana, obesu abapa. Matthew 7 verse 15. We can't read all, but I'll just summarize that every good tree will bring forth good fruits, and a bad tree will bring forth bad fruits according to their nature. Do you have a piano? A so ababa. And if you are born in Israel, a so ababa. It is what on ya and you press what is some part. And I hope what I sample for what bread bono a betray. So if you are a true convert with genuine conversion in your life, you will bear good fruits of repentance. The Holy Spirit and righteousness in your Christian faith, it will all show. If you have not done that, you can never lead that kind of life. There will be signs that you are not born again. But if you are born again, you will have fruits of repentance, good fruits, as the good tree is. So what are these true good fruits of repentance that must show in your life? That is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. We can't read all, but I'll read the fruits. I will even say the fruit. It is a fruit. Even though there are many virtues, it is a fruit, one fruit, but bearing all these virtues. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. So if you have experienced a genuine conversion, a true salvation, all these things will show in your life. So what when I will fulfill our power, because the moment you are born, you are still with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will now help you to bear all these fruits. So if you are not born again, you can't bear this. In the evening, we'll talk a bit about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Spirit, and all these things will come again. And Yedikan say, Odo, Elijah, peace, any long suffering or patience, Abutre, any gentleness, so we are gentle, goodness, Papayo, any faith in God. All these things are fruit that you will bear when you are converted. Those who are not converted and they say, because they are faith, I don't know the kind of faith they are talking about. Faith is a gift of God, and it's included in this fruit that the Holy Spirit will give you. So you must be born again to be able to get all these fruits. And when, if you are born again, you will lead a godly life. How will you live that godly life? First, you be relying on Jesus. In everything that you do, your hope and your trust will be in Jesus. Say, when you are at my proof for year, wabrabo be ya brabo a ye unyankopon abrabo. Na no no na me say ye can say and say, I'm say ebe ma odu obi bia to ye Jesus. When you that's when we are saying any Jesus. John 15 verse 5 we say, without me ye can do nothing. Christ is saying that without him we can do nothing. And then you also pray. Prayer is a sign of one having the Holy Spirit. Yesterday one speaker talked a lot about prayer. If you are not praying enough, it's a sign that you are not born again. If you are born again, these things, as the book says, that they are certain, they are immature. Not that it may, it must. So if you are not born again, prayer becomes a difficulty. So you pray. So prayer is a key part of the life of a changed person, because that is where we express our reliance or dependence on God. That's the means of communication God has given us, that we can speak to him. When we pray, we speak to God. When we read the scriptures, God speaks to us. So every genuine Christian would like to pray and showing that he relies on God. Philippians 4 verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made unknown to God. So if you are born again, prayer, you see, you will never think of your problem, because you can't solve the problem. You always rely on Christ through prayer. You pray in every situation that you go into. And then another character that must show in your life if you are born again is, as I said, reading of the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. See, Bible now, that how my for a year, any other prophet in the Bible. He said, "See, be a over common, and more ask him our Bible." The young man can walk away, what can I say when you know our Bible? It is, we will be our son, and put on our book for a Bible can be out there. Now, can you swear any better church you can who knows who you have to be a over common be a overcome Bible. So alongside prayer, it is very important that we spend time to read the Bible. So like I said, prayer is where we speak to God, and the Bible reading is where God speaks to us. Also, you have quiet time. You always use some time to be with just you and God. That's what we call quiet time in the scriptures. Daniel 6 verse 10. We saw that Daniel in his upper room, he said he with his windows open. That was the time when even they were saying that nobody should pray. But Daniel was always doing it. He said in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was the custom. It was his custom. Tebiana Daniels, in Daniel, or Nyakupongra, a shout to the mouth of lions before him. He used to spend quiet time with God, to pray and to meditate over God. So we may ask, when should we read the Bible or when should we pray? Well, for prayer, we can pray at any time. You must set time for yourself. You know your schedule. The same thing for Bible reading. For the Daniel that we talk about, he said he set periods in the day when he would pray, and it's for everybody, the time that will suit you. Because you need, don't hurry. Set time that you can spend some time with the Lord. Pray and meditate. And you see how God will answer your prayers. And also, a genuinely saved person. Yesterday, all these things came out at the conference. We do witnessing. Last week, when we were with our children's Sunday school, we gave an example of Bartimaeus, the blind man. when he was healed, Christ told him to go to his people and tell them the great thing that he has seen. Are you saved? In the same way, if you are saved, you would like to witness. You will take every opportunity that you will get to save, to preach the gospel. Yesterday, that was what was our many of the speakers talked about. You will witness. Because what you have learned from God is so amazing to you that you want to share with other people. So one of the signs of true conversion is witnessing to people, other through the churches, evangelism, or your own personal, any opportunity that you get. I'll tell you one story that I personally have been doing. There's a bank here, Absa Bank there, that I always go in to pay check. And whenever I'm going to pay the check, I put the check in a truck, one of our trucks. And I, when I go, instead of taking the check from the truck, I give him the whole truck. Then he will say, "Oh, uncle," I said, "Oh, take it." So he took it. So the next month, when I went there, you know, I asked him, "Have you read the truck?" "Oh, yes, I've read it." And when I was going, I was having another truck, a different title. Then I gave it to him. So I said, "Okay, this time I want you to call me and let us know what you have learned about the truck." And he called me. And there were so many things that he wants me to meet him and explain to him, especially on the issue. Because the other time, the truck I was holding was, "Should we believe in today's prophets?" And I gave it to him. So I think he has read that and he wants me to explain more. It's an opportunity. Any opportunity you get, share the gospel of God. If you are truly saved. But you can't share when you are not saved. What will you tell him? What is your experience? So it's a sign of true conversion. In Mark 15, verse 15, Christ said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is the mandate God has given. Yesterday, all this, that was the main things that were being preached there. And once I was listening to them, I was wondering if really they themselves are doing this. But I know in our Reformed churches, sometimes evangelism becomes a problem. But these are signs of true conversion. When you are converted, you would like to preach the word to other people, what you have experienced to other people. In the same way, you say, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." As Anthony was talking about this, that your personal lifestyle can also be a witness. People can see your life. And then, if your personal lifestyle is horrible, how are people listening to you? People will not take you serious. And time is running. Let me just, I have a few more to. If we can get, or at least we can end somewhere. The next thing that you will do, the next sign that will show, is you will keep short accounts with God. What I mean is that no matter your conversion, no matter who you are, you will still sin. We have sins of commission, we have sins of commission. But if you are converted, the moment you sin, you go to God. You repent and go to God and ask Him to forgive you. And all these are signs of true conversion. In John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 10, he said that if we say that we never sin, we are lying and deceiving ourselves. See? You can never say that you won't sin because we have an enemy who is always tempting us to sin. But the moment you sin, if you are a truly converted person, the next time you are with God, asking Him to forgive you, you will never stay over your sin. It will disturb you. You can't even sleep until you come and confess to God. These are all signs of true conversion. And the next thing that will show in your life is waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. When you are a converted person, you wish Christ is coming tomorrow. But we live in a world of so many troubles. The only solution to end this trouble is when Christ comes. But the unconverted person doesn't mind about these things. He thinks life is okay. He goes on with his life. But the converted person will wait for the return of Christ. And we find out in the first, the one that I just read, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead. See, you wait for our Christ who is coming, and that will be your prayer. So the Christian life is a life filled with hope. You have hope that no matter what you are going through, is it poverty, whatever it is, you know that there's a hope. When Christ comes, all these things will end. And about two more or so. And you also meet with other Christians. Church attendance, fellowship with the fellow Christians. If you are truly born again, it will be a joy for you to be with your fellow Christians. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you are truly born again, this must show in your life. Church attendance will be a delight unto you. You will always want to be in the house of God. And true, sometimes when you are going through something different, you come to church and see. The moment you come to church, you see that everything is gone. So if you are a truly converted person, church attendance will be a priority. We know there are times that there are genuine reasons that you can attend church, you know, or meet together with your friends. But if it's not, and you just want to relax, then it's a sign that your salvation is not genuine. If it's genuine, you can never sleep in your house when there's time to meet in God's house. So church attendance is one of the things that you always show. And then the company that you keep, the friends that you keep. If you are a converted person, you would like to meet with people who are not corrupt, people who also share the same ideas with you as a truly born again Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. You can turn there later. It is all there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. The company you keep. Because if you are not in agreement with somebody, you can never move with that person. So if you are a truly converted person, you must move with people who have shared the same ideas as you. So if you are a truly born converted, you will really live with people who are also converted. The next thing is that you also hate sin. As I said, you will hate sin. Even though you may sin because the old self is still there, you hate it. There's a difference between hating something and even doing it. Because even though God hates sin, He loves sinners, isn't it? He hates sin, but He loves us. So you must hate sin. Sin is wicked, it's dangerous. So you must fear it. And once you fear and you hate it, the moment it comes into your life, you will like to come to God and plead for pardon and forgiveness, and for Him to forgive you. So friends, I'm sure with these few signs that we have shown today, you'll be able to examine yourself whether you are truly saved or not. But remember, a time is coming. Christ is coming. And when He comes, it is judgment. And the wrath is coming. The wrath of God is coming. Are you ready? Are you converted? It's only those who are converted who will be saved from this situation. My prayer is that we all be converted before that day of judgment comes. Let's pray.